Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Do you think you are part of that 75%? I really didn't think that I would be, but when asked to list out all the subscriptions I paid for, one or two slipped through the cracks that I totally forgot about. One of which was for something that I swore I canceled forever ago. Think about it. Between streaming platforms, apps, delivery services, and even parenting / kid subscriptions, though they all seem like small amounts, when pulled together, that's a pretty big chunk of your spending money out the door. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting time on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/morningcup. That's rocketmoney.com/morningcup. rocketmoney.com/morningcup. Today's podcast is brought to you by newspapers.com, the ultimate destination for exploring the mysteries of the past. If you're fascinated by true crime, get ready to dive into the stories that made headlines. Newspapers.com offers a billion pages of historical newspapers from the U.S. and beyond, and you can search the entire collection in seconds. Their vast newspaper collection is a goldmine for eyewitness accounts, crime scene photos, news reports, and more. Whether you're interested in famous crimes or long-forgotten cases, newspapers.com gives you a front-row seat to more than 300 years of history. For our listeners, newspapers.com has a special offer. Use the code CUPOFMURDER for an exclusive 20% discount on your subscription. That's promo code CUPOFMURDER at newspapers.com. Sign up today and start unraveling the true crime mysteries that keep you up at night.
There were two more murders 15 miles away.
When police arrived, they found the telephones and electricity lines.
We have a weird homicide.
A scene described by one investigator as reminiscent of a weird
morning.
Cup of murder.
Not everyone can leave prison reformed. On March 2nd, 1993, a man was sentenced for crimes he committed while being praised as the model prisoner. So if you like your coffee hot but your bones chilled, sit back and start your day with a morning cup of murder. Jerome Dennis, born December 14, 1966, was the seventh of nine children raised in Newark by his mother. He had his first run-in with police at the age of just 11, but due in large part to his youth, he was never formally charged with any of the crimes. Dropping out of school entirely in the seventh grade, his crimes began escalating from minor thefts to brutal rapes. On November 6, 1981, at 14 years old, Jerome and his brother William committed a rape in the downtown area, and when finished with their victim, they traveled to Military Park where they stopped at a payphone and reported the incident. Not only did they give up their identity, but over the course of the hour-long phone call, they gave the details, bragged, allowed a trace, and only got off the line when the officers arrived and placed handcuffs on their wrists. Once in custody, the boys admitted to two more rapes that they claimed occurred in October. Charged as adults, when brought to their joint trial, the boys' own father testified as part of the prosecution. In December of 1981, Jerome was convicted of rape, false imprisonment, and armed robbery, and was sentenced to 30 years in prison with a minimum of 10 years served. Taking up baking while behind bars and attending vocational cooking classes, as well as Bible study group, in early October of 1991, Jerome was granted early release and on November 19th was officially paroled. Seeming like he was going to make something of his freedom, having been described as the model prisoner and parolee, he moved to a home in East Orange, New Jersey, and was hired at the Pleasant Dale Bakery as a porter. According to the executive director of the State Parole Board at the time, while some inmates on parole show clear signs that there is trouble just waiting to happen, when looking at Jerome's files, they found nothing worrisome and felt confident that he was going to be one of the successes. That was until he shocked everyone when, in 1992, he was charged with four rapes and five murders. Within just 2 months of his release, on December 12, 1991, Jerome attacked 26-year-old Zelda Bailey, and though injured, He left her alive and able to walk away from her brutal attack. But just 4 days later, when he did the same to 41-year-old Robin Carter, he decided to take it a step further and strangled the woman to death after her rape. Her body was discovered the very next day. 2 months later, on February 15, 1992, he abducted 30-year-old Elizabeth Clenor, who was just returning from a local McDonald's where she had applied for a job. He raped her and then bludgeoned her to death before leaving her body in an abandoned house. 6 days later, February 21st, he attacked 30-year-old Stephanie Alston, fatally stabbed her to death, and dumped her body just 50 yards away from Elizabeth's. And the very next day, he attacked 23-year-old Khadijah Harris, who thankfully survived the harrowing ordeal. On April 10th, 1992, 16-year-old Jamila Jones, who was out with friends, decided to head back home around nightfall just to be safe. 6 hours away from her house, Jerome attacked the young teen, raped her, and then stabbed her to death before tossing her body off the pedestrian overpass. Her body, along with those of Elizabeth Clenor, Stephanie Alston, and 14-year-old Shakia Hedgepeth, were all found over the next few days, all within blocks of one another. Determining that all must have been the victim of the same vicious serial killer, both the Newark Police Department and the East Orange Department, though they knew of parolee Jerome Dennis's criminal history, failed to initially connect him to the cases, but did publicly announce that there was an active serial killer in the area that was being investigated. Females were advised not to go anywhere unattended, and patrol cars were in constant rotation around the cities. Soon, panic grew to an all-time high, and to try and provide some comfort, the FBI joined the investigation as the media created fear-inducing headlines about crimes that were uncharted territory for the residents in the area. Community meetings were held, flyers were passed out, and self-defense classes reached a record high attendances. All the while, Jerome Dennis continued his work at the bakery, as if he was still that well-behaved and reformed former criminal. It wasn't long, though, until the rape on his record made him a person of interest. And after some time, Jerome's blood, hair, and saliva samples were all sent in for investigation, while detectives set up a photo lineup to show the two surviving victims. Both women pointed to Jerome Dennis and said that he was the man who brutally raped them. Arrested on April 13, 1992, Jerome was charged with 35 felonies that included rape, robbery, assault, kidnapping, one count of manslaughter, and 4 counts of murder. Held on a $2 million bail, with him securely in custody, Newark officials held a public meeting where over 250 people showed up to ask them questions. Many, it seemed, were worried that the speedy arrest was done to ease their fears, but that maybe they had the wrong man. Officials refused to comment on motive or how the victims were selected, as well as other important links, but they did say that all of the victims, like Jerome himself, were young and Black. Assuring the public that Jerome was, quote, not just plucked out of thin air, the prosecutors rebuffed all questions that went beyond the identity of their suspect and victims. But many did learn that Jerome was on parole at the time of the murders and began questioning how much the parolee was truly being monitored. Jerome, who in one breath claimed that he was innocent and in another confessed to each of the murders, ended up pleading guilty to the 13 charges against him on February 27, 1993. This plea included the murders of Robin Carter, Elizabeth Clenor, Stephanie Alston, Jamila Jones, and Shakia Hedgepeth, 2 counts of aggravated sexual assault, 1 count of aggravated assault, 1 count of armed robbery, 2 counts of criminal restraint, and 1 count of parole violation. All of the others were dropped, and on March 2, 1993, he was officially sentenced to 3 concurrent life terms. He will be eligible for parole in 2052 when he is 85 years old. Thank you for joining me in my morning cup of murder. Please join me again tomorrow to hear what terrible thing happened on March 3rd. Don't forget to rate and subscribe and let me know how you like it. If you want to help support the podcast, there's always Patreon, or just sharing it with your true crime obsessed friends. And remember, stay safe.